As I said, we there's very few here tonight. It's possibly what you would call a skeleton crew, if that. But I'm thankful for the ones that are here. I know that some of you watched the live stream this morning. I have heard from you, and I do appreciate that. I will make this suggestion. Remember those that were announced as being sick this morning, especially our shut-ins that are shut in all the time, and let's keep an eye on them. Let's check on them as we have opportunity. You know, one thing that I have been accused of in my career of preaching is being too hard. But I've never been accused of being too radical. I want to suggest to you that there are enemies of God, enemies of God's truth, that always in their preaching cast doubts upon that truth. And these are messengers, if you will, that proclaim to be God's speakers. And if you watch any TV show, you'll see men like Joel Osteen, you'll see Billy Graham, you'll see David Jeremiah, you'll see Pat Robertson, you'll see men like Kenneth Copeland, you'll see men like Jimmy Swaggart, not anymore, but you will, if you're old enough, you'll remember who Jimmy Swaggart is. You'll see Jerry Falwell and Joyce Meyer today. Now, I sit with my mother-in-law, and we watch some of these, and in the recent days, they preach, and they use a lot of scripture, but they don't have much substance with what they're saying. And couple of them that we've watched here recently, all they preached about for their 30-minute time frame was thanking everybody for the money that they had sent in. So now all of their buildings, their conglomerates, their sanctuaries are paid off. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 13, "For this reason, we always thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God who are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they do not please God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they may be saved. So as always, to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost." Now the Apostle Paul talks about here that these people, you remember the Judaizing teachers that went along behind Paul in his missionary journeys, and they convinced those Gentiles who were being converted that in order to be a Christian, they had to bind part of the old law. And ultimately, that's why chapter 15 in the book of Acts is written, because it talks about the authority of God's word. But here Paul talks about in this passage in verse 15, and he says, "They do not please God and are contrary to all men." There are people today, just as they were in the first century, who were preaching things contrary to the word of God. They were going about preaching, as I said, the Judaizing teachers went along behind Paul and demanded that Gentiles be circumcised, binding the Old Testament law with the New Testament law in order for them to be Christians. God nowhere commands that under this new covenant that we are in. So we see here that rather than accept the truth, some people, some messengers react against the messengers of truth with slander, insinuations, slurs, insults, and other types of ill treatment. And Paul asked a question in Galatians 4 and verse 16, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" You see, that's an interesting question. They hated Jesus because he preached the truth. They hated the men that were the apostles because they preached the truth. And that's what Paul is asking here. He also wrote in 2 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 25, he said, "Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen. in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Paul had to withstand all of this, and he suffered greatly against those who did not want the truth of God's word. Now, I'm going to tell you up front, this message, this sermon comes from an article from Guardian of Truth from 1997 by an elder out of Texas named Tom Roberts. And he wrote this, and it was titled, Kill the Messenger. And when you think about it, what did they do in the first century? They killed the messenger of God. They killed Christ, his son, and they killed most of the apostles. So let me ask you today, are we too extreme, too radical, when we preach the word and demand that the message of the truth needs to be heard? People of the world would view us as being extreme, being radical by preaching nothing but the truth of God's word. And that's extreme because that's not what they want to hear. That's not what they want preached. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 2, preach the word. Tells the young preacher Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Even in the first century, Paul warned Timothy, there's going to be people that don't want to hear the truth. Today's no different. He says, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Why are these TV preachers so successful? Because they preach just enough of the truth to keep people satisfied while he's preaching the truth. Even Billy Graham, people used to talk about that even as a Baptist preacher, he did preach from the Bible. Well, that's good and well. But what did he preach about the truth? He preached just like we talked about this morning from Mark 16:16, just the opposite. He would interchange the phrases in Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. As a Baptist pastor, he wouldn't tell you that. So he's radical, or we're too radical for him. So I want to suggest to you that when Paul wrote this in the first century to the young preacher Timothy, and he wrote about everything that he had been through in the first century to the Corinthian brethren, things have not changed today. The problems that we face today are no different than what faithful Christians faced in the past. I mean, you go all the way back to the Old Testament, to the book of 1 Kings. Did Elijah not suffer at the hands of the king Ahab? Remember Mount Carmel? Remember Elijah trying to flee, and he finally comes to himself, and he's by himself, and he tells God that he alone is left. He suffered greatly. Then we have Amaziah to Amos in chapter 7, verses 10 through 13. He was a priest of Bethel. And then you come to the New Testament and you have the Jews, some of the Jews' reaction to John the Baptist and how the people rejected him, and yet some flocked to him to hear what he had to say. And then we have Herod confronting John the Baptist, or rather John the Baptist confronting Herod over his marriage. And we see that he literally lost his head because of it. And then you move on into the New Testament even farther, Matthew chapters 11 and 12, and you see here particularly how the Pharisees would treat Jesus. The problems he had with them. He would call them vipers and venomous snakes and hypocrites, and yet they would call him a blasphemous person because he claimed to be the Son of God. And then you go on through the books of the New Testament into the book of Acts, and you see how the enemies of the faith of the apostles attack them. You see how Tertullus attacked Paul in Acts 24. And then you have our brethren in the recent past, in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, that would have opponents of societies and instrumental music, and they claim that we're divisive because we want the truth, but they want all these things added to the worship service. There was also the support of human organizations, and they would call people that oppose that, like the orphan home, they would call us orphan haters or anties or even church splitters or people that were of the yellow tag of quarantine. Brethren that have always stood for the truth have always faced problems because they view us as being too radical because all we ask is that the truth be spoken. But brethren today face no different problem than people all the way back to Elijah and Ahab. Opponents today are those that want to bind tradition over what the truth teaches. They want to have innovations on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and they call us radical watchdogs or emotion-based people, and our arguments are emotion-based. But what I'm trying to get across to us here is that the problems that we face today, even though it may have a different name on it, is still the same thing that they talked about, dealt with, all the way back to 1 Kings in chapter 18. So why are charges made against faithful brethren and the truth that they teach? Why is it that people attack those that preach the truth? Well, when Paul preached the whole counsel of God, as he stated in Acts 20 and verse 27, that's why people attack. That's why charges, false charges, are made against faithful brethren and the truth that they teach. Paul says in Acts 20 when he met with those Ephesian elders, I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. He held nothing back. I had a teacher in high school one time. I told him, I said, I want to learn everything about this class that you know. He says, I'm not going to do that. I said, why? He says, because then I quit being the teacher. But notice the apostles. They held nothing back. They taught everything that God told them to teach. And Paul here tells the Ephesian elders, I didn't stop declaring to you the whole counsel of God. I preached everything to you that God wants you to know. And when we open the Word, the pages of God's Word, we have everything that God wants us to know, everything that God tells us we need to know. Again, we go back to 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, and Paul says, preach the word, Timothy. Be ready in season and out of season. That requires us to study, to be ready, and then to convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. We have to know the word of God. And they will ridicule us, they will beat us down and call us all types of names, radical or whatever, because we study the truth of God's word. But notice he mentions the word there that we do this with all long suffering. We do it with patience. And the problem is, he says here as he goes on in verses 3 and 4, that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Isn't that the basis of all denominations today? If you don't like this one, then you go to that one because that's what I like to hear. I like the piano. I like the concert type music. And you can take your pick of any denominational church in this city or the cities round about us, and there will be people that are flocking to those because they have just a smidge of the truth. And then they offer everything else to take care of their itching ears. But why is that? It's because they don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear just enough to satisfy their conscience, to soothe their conscience, to let them think that, well, I'm doing what God wants me to do. But they're not. They have itching ears. Another reason that such charges are made against faithful brethren, I believe, is because these accusers have lost their love for the truth. They no longer have a desire to please God. That's, you know, as I say that I'm doing in my best Southern vernacular, it ain't about us, it's about God. They want it to be about them. They want everything in their worship to be about me. Not about what God wants, but what I can best get out of worshiping God. What we get out of it, the edification and the brotherly love and everything that comes along with it, is a byproduct of what we do to please God. And if we please God, then we're going to benefit from our service to Him. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 119 and verse 97, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." And then we go back to the New Testament, and Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning in verse 10, that with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. Come to us. Then the denomination is not going to tell you, we preach just enough of the truth. We're going to include just enough scripture for you to be happy in thinking you're serving God. But here, as Paul says, they're believing a delusion that God has allowed them to believe. They're believing the lie. And in verse 12, he says that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The problem with our religious society today is that all want to do just enough to get by in pleasing God, in serving God. And they do not have a love for the truth. And I believe a third reason that they make these charges is that they have closed their hearts to the truth. They don't want to hear it. Hearts have been opened to personal agendas instead of the truth. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15, "Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel." You can always tell those who preach the gospel out of love. You can always tell those who are preaching it for the almighty dollar. Like I said, eating lunch with my mother-in-law, we listened to two here in this past week or the week before. That's all they talked about. They mixed in enough scripture to please the people, to salve their itching ears, but then they talked about how much money they had sent in, and they sell books. Send us money, your generous donation, and we'll send you this book. But if you send us $70, then we'll send all this extra stuff with the book. But if you want the book, whatever you send in, but then we'll send in all this extra stuff. One of these preachers, this David Jeremiah, I listened to him being interviewed the other day. And he was interviewed by a woman, and he made some good common sense things, applications about how to live. But he didn't apply much scripture to it. And I have a problem with men that do that. They're selling their personal agendas instead of buying the truth. But I think a fourth reason is that self has been elevated beyond measure. And we see that even in the first century. Paul again, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. And these people, they glorify themselves. They glory in the appearance of how they look on TV. Oh, they get all their dentures fixed. They get their hair just in the right place. And I have a problem with that. I get a cowlick right here in the corner, and I can't do anything with it. But that doesn't bother me. I'm a little overweight. I wear suspenders, and I don't see these preachers on TV being that much overweight. To me, it's about the love of God and the love of His Word is why I preach the truth. And my love and my desire for people to respond and become faithful children of God. It's not about the money. It's not about what I can gain from it individually as a person to suit my finances. So, let's ask one more question. What are the righteous to do? What are we to do today when we are faced with such charges? Well, my first advice is remember. Remember that there's a just cause. You read throughout the scriptures and you see that there are just causes that God's people have to stand for all the time. Truth and the salvation and the protection of souls is why we need to remember. God will be with us. If God is with us, who can stand against us? Now, second thing, as Paul would tell the Corinthians in the second letter, is that we need to examine ourselves. first and foremost, we need to make sure that we are in the faith. We need to make sure that we're in the truth. He told young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 to study. Study to show thyself approved of God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And also, we need to examine ourselves that our motives remain pure. We need to contend earnestly for the faith and continue to contend earnestly for the faith and not for ourselves. Again, it ain't about us. It's about God and what God would have us to do. If you learn nothing else throughout our study of the Old Testament, everything that they did was about God. Pleasing God, making God happy. It was never about what they did for themselves. And if they turned it around and did what they wanted to benefit themselves, then God was displeased with them. We need to continue to contend earnestly for the faith and not for ourselves. And in doing so, we need to speak all the Word of God, not just the bits and pieces that soothe our itching ears. And again, we need to remember that repetition promotes learning. There are people that are going to say, I'm tired of you preaching on a particular subject. Well, that's good and fine. But when you had to memorize something either in Sunday school or in your school, your public school, what method did they use to drive the point home? Repetition. Repetition teaches us. It promotes learning and stability. We need to go over and over and over and over the Word of God. And finally, we need to hold up the hands of those who teach the truth. In the book of Exodus, there is a story of the hands being held up. And as long as the hands were held up, the Israelites won the war. But when they were lowered, they began to lose. We need to hold each other up. And I'm not talking about holding the preacher up, but we need to hold each other up as Christians as we strive to do what pleases God in this day. And finally, one couple final scriptures. We need to follow the example of Jesus and live for righteousness. Peter would write for us in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 21, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed." The opposition of that is of men who don't do what God wants, and they prevent God's purposes. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, God talks about his ways, his thoughts, and everything about him is so much higher than us. We can't understand, we can't fully grasp everything about God. In verse 11 of Isaiah 55, he says, So shall be my word that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God sent his word. As we noticed this morning, it was for our salvation. Our salvation is why we have the word of God. Now, it may be that you're in the sound of my voice and you realize that you have need of becoming a Christian. If you'll call me or contact me this evening, I will meet you back here at this building and I will baptize you for the remission of your sins. It may be that you just need the prayers of the saints. We can work with you and help you and pray with you and pray for you. Again, if you're only being able to watch through the live stream and you need our assistance in some way, if you would contact us, we would be more than willing to help you. That's the extent of my lesson this evening. I appreciate those that are here. And I appreciate those that are watching on live stream. I know you're watching because you tell me that you're watching, and I do greatly appreciate it. So we'll stop at this time.